From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, August 7th, 2017. And on this day, a fight brewing in Portland over the best ways to deal with the city's tough rental market, and a new online college program that UMaine Presque Isle says could make getting a bachelor's degree easier and less expensive. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Everyone who lives in southern Maine knows that Portland's rental market is tough. Now a new fight is brewing in the city over whether renters deserve new protections in what's become one of the hottest real estate markets in the nation. Fred Bever has more.
Volunteers with a group called Fair Rent Portland have delivered some 2,500 petition signatures to City Hall, hoping to qualify for a local referendum this fall on whether to put the brakes on a years-long trend of rapid increases in rents. Julia Tate, an architect who moved from Brooklyn to Portland in 2015, says she was surprised at what she had to pay.
We were paying just a hair less than we were paying for our place in Brooklyn for an apartment about the same size.
And she took a 25% pay cut when she moved here, too. So now she's working to enact a limit on how quickly rent can rise for apartments and buildings built before this year. Generally speaking, allowable rent hikes would be tied to the rate of inflation, or around 2%. That compares to a 4.5% annual increase in median rents the city has seen this decade. That's according to city statistics, with median rents nearly 20% higher than they were 7 years ago.
Our ordinance is only specified for 7 years, so it sunsets after that. You know, we can expect over those 7 years to see something like a 10% decline in real rents.
Jack O'Brien teaches statistics at Bowdoin College. A Portland native, he recently returned to the city after years away. He says studies of similar rent stabilization plans in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and in Hollywood show that they can effectively slow a loss of middle-class residents in popular communities.
Working folks who are in the sort of working class to the very middle class. And so, it's not really helping folks at the high end, and it's not really helping folks at the very, very low end.
Advocates working for that very low end, though, see the effort as a distraction from the city's real needs. Dana Topman is CEO of Avesta Housing, which builds and administers affordable and senior housing in Cumberland and York counties.
The focus really needs to be on increasing the supply of affordable housing. And I worry that the energy that goes into rent stabilization and ultimately tweaking existing rents is really energy that perhaps takes away from what is really needed, and that's creating new affordable housing.
And other landlords aren't likely to sign on.
This protects a very small group of tenants who happen to like where they're living today and don't want their lives to change. It is going to hurt low income. It's going to stop development.
Britt Vitalius is president of the Southern Maine Landlords Association. He says the 15-page ordinance, as proposed, includes, quote, draconian provisions that might not be immediately apparent, including new restrictions on evictions and a hard cap on rent increases of 10%. The latter, he says, could hurt the rehabilitation of derelict properties, like one he recently helped to sell on Munjoy Hill, which has seen perhaps the most rapid gentrification in Portland.
It was in terrible condition. Some of the rents were $800. Who's going to go in and renovate that unit? It needs a full renovation if you can only increase the rent by $80. $800 could only go to $880. The slummiest buildings are going to stay slummy.
Portland has been adding to its housing supply, with more than 900 units recently opening up or under construction now. Many have been geared to the high-end market, and city planner Jeff Levine says that's not enough to put significant downward pressure on median rents. He adds, though, that developers do appear to be starting to set their sights more on housing for the middle class.
Slightly above average income, but not luxury units. And that's promising for a couple of reasons. One, it's always good to see more housing stock at all levels. But also, those are the units that over time might end up actually impacting rents for low-income residents because they're less likely to become high-end condos, for example, or They're just more similar in style to traditional housing units.
Fair Rent's Jack O'Brien acknowledges that rent stabilization by itself can't overcome a scarcity of supply, but the time-limited rent stabilization proposal, he says, would give the city a much-needed breather, buying time for the deployment of new city policies that aim to protect the diversity of its economy and housing stock. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Starting this fall, some students at the University of Maine at Presque Isle will not need to worry about how many hours they need to spend in class to graduate. The university announced today that it is launching an online competency-based degree for some of its business students, which will allow them to get a bachelor's degree at their own pace and for less than $10,000. Robbie Feinberg reports the new program is aimed specifically at adults who may have dropped out of college in the past.
More Maine students are graduating high school and going to college today than they were 10 years ago. But research shows that almost half don't complete their degree within 6 years. That's left tens of thousands of people in Maine with thousands of dollars in debt, but no degree. Carolyn Dorsey, an associate business professor at the University of Maine at Presque Isle, says the college created a new competency-based pathway for its bachelor's degree in business administration to help these students who are already in the workforce.
So this allows people who may be working and very active in the community in their workspace, but they just don't have time to get to the classroom, it gives them an opportunity to complete.
Dorsey says under this competency-based program, the college can assess what a student already knows and give them credit for that. And students don't need a certain number of credits to graduate. Instead, they must complete specific competencies. Dorsey says that allows students to take courses online at their own pace. And she says the school can charge students a simple fee, $2,000 per semester.
And that $2,000 semester-based tuition is for in-state, out-of-state, international. It's one rate. We're keeping it at one flat tuition rate for per semester.
The final cost will vary from student to student. It would cost some students more for their bachelor's in business administration if it takes them more semesters to demonstrate competencies. Competency-based programs have traditionally been offered mostly at for-profit colleges. But after the federal government eased some financial aid rules in 2013, public universities, such as the University of Wisconsin, began to offer their own competency-based programs. The University of Maine at Presque Isle says it plans to start with about 50 students in its program come fall, but it hopes to expand to other degrees and majors in the next few years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Education reporting on Maine Public Radio, supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. Maine wild blueberry growers are trying to salvage what they can from this year's harvest, which experts predict will likely be smaller in just about every way, smaller berries, smaller total crop harvest, and smaller prices than a few years ago. As A.J. Higgins reports, some wild blueberry growers in Washington County actually decided it was more cost-effective not to harvest their blueberries and have mowed their fields in hopes of better conditions next year.
At Treewergy Family Orchards in Levant, co-owner Patty Treewergy examines one of her high bush blueberry plants.
These plants are about 5 years old. They're about 4 feet tall. We expect at some point in time they'll be about 6 feet tall. We care for them all.
Now these bushes are thriving, partly because they do not rely on the type of acidic soil conditions favored by their wild blueberry cousins, and because they have access to something that many large-scale Maine growers lack: a reliable water source.
We have the advantage of being able to irrigate. We have a pond and we irrigate, and that makes a big difference. But I don't imagine that the farmers down east can irrigate all those barrens.
Like so many of Maine's seasonal industries, the wild blueberry business flourishes or flounders with the weather. And this year, Professor David Yarborough, wild blueberry specialist with the UMaine Cooperative Extension and professor of horticulture at the university's School of Food and Agriculture, says the drier than normal summer is taking its toll on the crop.
The plants are under stress, especially when the temperatures get up 80 and above. without the rainfall. We've had, you know, a few scattered showers here and there, but not nearly enough rain that we need. We need about an inch a week, and the month of July, we got about half that amount of rain. We're really in dire need of rain.
Yarborough says that after a cold and rainy spring provided less than optimal crop prospects, some large wild blueberry growers decided to mow their fields before they could flower, simply to preserve the plants.
Flowering takes and the fruiting takes a lot of energy out of the plants themselves, so if you allow that process to happen and then mow them, it's much better to look at your field history and determine whether you should mow that field and not have it in production already. And a number of them have already done that. They made the decision.
In fact, Yarborough and other industry analysts say that rather than grow more berries, some large processors would be happy to empty some of the millions of pounds of frozen blueberries from their freezers that have remained unsold since last summer. To help empty the blueberry freezers, the United States Department of Agriculture plans to buy $10 million worth of this year's crop, the third year in a row that they've made such a purchase and the fourth time in 6 years that the federal government will subsidize the state's wild blueberry growers. From Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, August 7th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.